Our scripture for today comes from Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 23. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' Then when they had heard the king, they set off, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they bought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.' When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all of the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, 'I hear a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more.' When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Israel, in Egypt, and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets must be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene." May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our spirits up. And may all that is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen. During this Advent season, we have seen how God invited plain old average people to be part of the story of Jesus. Old people, virgins, carpenters, shepherds, and now wise men from a distant land in the east. We have seen how God wants us to be part of the continuing story of Jesus of Nazareth. As I said last week, the story of Jesus doesn't stop with his birth, I mean, start with his birth and end with his death. The story of Jesus goes all the way back to the fall of Adam and Eve. And it continues on to this day and into the future. And again, we are called to be part of that story. We saw how he wants us to be messengers of hope, peace, joy, and love. Well, there is one more thing that God asks us to be messengers of. And that, my friends, is life. So the Magi had come from the east asking, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. And this inquiry, this question makes its way to the ears of King Herod, and it scares the ever-living snot out of him. You see, there can only be one king and a region, and in this case, it's Herod. Herod wants to continue to be the king. And worse yet, this king that was being talked about was to be Jewish. So if this king is found and the Jews find out, there could be an uprising. I could lose my throne. I could lose my wealth, my power, my prestige. So Herod asks the Magi to report back to him what they find out under the guise of wanting to go and worship him as well. But after the wise men presented Mary and Joseph and Jesus their gifts, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they took a different road back home. Because you see, Herod did not want to worship the King of the Jews. He wanted to destroy him. He wanted to protect his kingship. So 2 years go by after the Magi did return, Herod is a little pissed. He's a little angry because his plan has fallen apart. And so he orders his armies to go out and to slaughter all of the children 2 years of age and younger around Bethlehem. If I don't know where he is, by God, I'll just kill all the children. And that'll solve my problem. He didn't want to take any chances that the King of the Jews would be able to grow up and would be able to lead a Jewish revolt against him. It's an unconscionable action by a person only thinking about themselves, having apathy for the lives of the Jews. The word apathy means lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. So Herod had a lack of concern, a lack of interest in the Jews. And because of that, he was easily able to order a genocide. Because in his mind, he regarded the Jewish people as being less than human, and he had a total lack of concern for their well-being or for their dignity. But an angel came to Joseph again in a dream and said, "Joseph, gather up Mary and baby Jesus and flee to Egypt until things settle down a little bit around here." It's interesting to note that some people think that the gifts of the wise men were meant to help Joseph and his family in exile in Egypt, because these were not little dollar store gifts. These were very expensive gifts. After Herod died, Joseph was visited by an angel again and was told to return, and he settles down in Nazareth and fulfills the prophecy that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Now, the first time that angel came to Joseph to warn him, its purpose was to provide a wake-up call for Joseph and the family to flee, to get up, to get moving and protect his family. Now, Joseph could have very easily shown a bit of apathy himself, a little bit of a lack of interest, and said something like, "Come on, this is the Son of God. Nothing is going to happen." And just remained there in Bethlehem. And that would have very likely meant that Jesus would have been killed and the hope of the future generations would die with him. But Joseph responded to that wake-up call and did what was necessary to preserve the life of his family. This call to get up and go is still being said by God to us today. But instead of protecting the life of the Savior, he is asking us to protect the poor, the hungry, the downtrodden, the at-risk, the threatened, the oppressed. Now, it would be very, very, very easy for us to show apathy about this call. It would be very easy for us to simply go about our daily lives, to come to church on Sunday morning and feel that our obligation to God has been fulfilled. But God is asking us to wake up, to shake off our apathy, to awaken from our sleepy lives, and to get up and to act. Now again, we have seen how we're called to be messengers of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love, that God would have us to be, that quite frankly, he needs us to be. God is calling us to fully commit to being his messengers by being messengers of life. To get rid of all of our apprehensions, all of our apathy, and anything that is going to stop us from doing what he wants us to do. 3 years ago, COVID had an impact on this country, nay, the world. And it had an impact on the church. And churches had to take, and they had to pivot, and they had to pivot very quickly. Because you couldn't meet in the sanctuary. But the message was still there. The need to minister was still there. So a lot of churches looked at alternate ways to do service. And my understanding is the way that this church did this was to have church in the parking lot. It was different. It wasn't the way that things was done, but it was done because it needed to be done. And all churches, to a certain extent, became somewhat, shall we say, sleepy. And all of the things that they were doing were, to a certain extent, forgotten. It's time for First Christian Church of Pulaski to awake from her sleep, to get up, and to act again. There are so many things that this church has done in the past that we need to start doing again. Next week, my sermon is going to be titled "The State of the Church." In it, I am going to put forward where I think this church needs to take and needs to start moving forward. I'm going to be talking about the activities that this church can and should be doing. And it's going to take courage on all of our parts to accomplish this. It is going to take us doing things that are going to make us somewhat uncomfortable. Things that are going to make us feel inadequate. Like we can't do it. Oh, I can't do this. The church can't do this. Just remember, can't didn't do anything. But these are the things that we as a church need to start doing once again. Because that, my friends, is what we are called to do. So get ready. Amen.